Good afternoon, I'm Kathy Lewis. The holiday season is in full swing, and on top of social activities and decorating, the holidays are a great time to check in on the health of your aging parents. Today, we'll learn more about a strategy to do that, and we'll get the latest on the Filmily Film Fest, and that critical icon Mal Vincent chats with a film icon, Warren Beatty. Let's talk about it after this news from NPR. Minutes past the hour. Great to be with you this afternoon. You know what the best thing about today is? It's Thursday, which makes it our Friday. Right, guys? Everybody's ready for the weekend. I'm not going to lie. You need to stay in the studio until 12:59. I'm just telling you that. That has to happen. We're glad to have you with us today. A holiday is certainly a great time of year to do so many things, not just decorate your house, not just social activities and the like. It's also, it turns out, a great time to check in on the health and well-being of your aging parents, because you will probably see them over the holiday season at some point. So we have some great tips for you today about how to sort of check on their health and their well-being and maybe have some conversations, which may be a little bit challenging around what may need to happen next. But you know, as with everything we've said on this broadcast for these many years, we can deal with just about anything. We just got to be able to talk about it. So we'll talk about that in the first half of the program today. In the second half of the program, we're going to be previewing the Filmily Fest, which is a film festival underway at the Narrow Theater. And so we'll talk about that a little bit. And then at the end of the program, because you should always go out with a big finale, Mal Vincent will be here to talk about one of his film icons. Of course, he knows him, Warren Beatty, because that's just how Mal rolls. So we are awfully glad to have you in the conversation today. We're wondering where you connect with this experience of aging parents. Maybe you are the aging parent. Maybe you are somebody who's concerned about an aging parent. We'd love to hear what that experience for you is today at 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. Those are the numbers where you can join us today. We're glad to have with us in the studio today, Bruce Robertson, who's the president of Sentara Life Care, and that is essentially Sentara's organization that looks after all that sort of long-term care continuum, including the nursing homes, assisted living, and then these community-based programs through Sentara. Nice to have you with us today.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So this continuum concept, it seems, is probably where we should begin, because I guess to some extent we're all working along a continuum, aren't we?
Absolutely. You know, yeah. So many folks in the past, we felt like folks have to be institutionalized in a nursing home, and that's no longer necessary today. The PACE program, that is the program for all-inclusive care for the elderly, represents another option. So for those folks who live in the community that are nursing home eligible, that really don't even want to let anybody know they're needing nursing home care, this becomes an opportunity for them to remain independent, safe in the community with the help and support of the PACE program.
So when you use the term nursing home eligible, give us a couple of criteria that would suggest that.
Right. So generally, folks that are eligible to be in a nursing facility, they usually have some deficits in basic activities of daily living. So that would mean such things as bathing, dressing, feeding, ambulation,
walking.
Mm-hmm. So those as they become more dependent in those abilities, they're less safe in the home. We all know that in the home, falls are one of the key concerns, and making sure our loved ones have good balance and things of that nature. But as you become more frail and you lose your ability to maintain those, then you might need a level of care such as a nursing home.
That's a great point. We're at 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. We're glad to have Dr. Katie Robichaud with us today as well. She's a family and internal medicine physician. She runs this PACE site at the Janus Shopping Center in Norfolk, and that's called PACE Program. You just heard Bruce Robertson describe that program of all-inclusive care for the elderly. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
This fall risk, it seems to me, is the doorway to so much, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Especially, you know, this area doesn't have the ice, you know, that I was used to in my training. But what we do have is that people are trying to maintain being active outside. They have pets and they're falling inside their home. Their vision is impaired. And they're tripping, a lot of tripping. And of course, being a nice climate, we do have a lot more elderly in this area.
Right.
And so it's probably the primary thing going home for the holiday to try to keep your parents or siblings that you're noticing that are elderly safe.
Yeah. So there are some ways that you can do this. And one of the things we've just learned about recently, which I think is so interesting, is assessing the ability. Now, this is not something you're going to do, by the way, around your holiday table, I'm guessing. Ask somebody to clip their toenails. Probably that is not something that you're going to want to do. You want to find your time and your place for this. But that ability to clip one's toenails is apparently sort of a signal or an indicator.
Well, it's a couple of things that you're suggesting there. One, it's hygiene.
Yeah.
The other thing is the ability to bend over and not fall over. One of the tricks that physicians use to see how impaired a person is to have them in the exam chair and ask them to stand up. And if it takes them more than 3 seconds to stand up, that's a red flag to any physician that, you know, there is a balance issue, perhaps a neurologic issue.
So more than 3 seconds to get up.
More than 3 seconds.
Yeah. So that's something we could all observe in our, you know, in our homes. You have your folks over, or you go to their house and mm-hmm. just sort of observe that and see how quickly they're mm-hmm. getting up and down out of chairs. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other things that we should be observing?
Well, the thing I would think of the most with the holiday travel is if you're assuming you're traveling, so not there on a daily basis to observe your family, you want to, number one, make sure they're safe in their home. And of course, safety means preventing falls and preventing injuries from any of the equipment in the home. Mm-hmm. But driving is probably one of the bigger things that we all have a stake in observing. And one of the tricks there to consider is to go on a run, perhaps to the grocery store, mm-hmm. but don't give any advice or suggestion, or keep your comments to yourself and just observe mm-hmm. your family member's driving ability. Taking the wrong route, you know, the red flags are easy to spot, but some of the other
things.
The
red lights too, just to be clear. Yeah.
Nighttime driving is particularly difficult for the elderly, and they need to know that if they don't know that, because it just comes on gradually.
Sure.
And it doesn't occur to them. So, and of course, they're going to be afraid to even bring up the subject because they don't want to lose their independence.
This is very interesting too, this sort of delicate balance between having those conversations about independence and respecting a parent's wish for autonomy. And where that rubber meets the road is a real challenge for families.
Absolutely. It's so important to respect a senior or an elder's independence. And it's all too often, you know, as a family member, as a caregiver, you may find you're trying to overhelp. You may say,
yes.
Well, let's, you know, it'd be safer if you wouldn't drive your car anymore. And, you know, if you approach it from that standpoint, it just, that becomes, you know, that is disrespectful. It can be received as being disrespectful. And it's important to be able to couch those conversations carefully.
Yeah.
And sensitively.
Very interesting point. In 2004, there was a study that these two professors did at State University of New York. And what they looked at was interviews with focus groups with older adults. And what they found, this was very interesting, that the older adults expressed a strong desire for autonomy and connection with their adult children. And so they're sort of ambivalent about receiving assistance from them because they do want to remain independent, but they also want to remain connected to their children because they, you know, the sense is that they do recognize that there are moments where they do need help. So that's it's a tough balance to strike, but this is very sort of revelatory because you have to recognize that both of those things are true. They want to stay connected and they also want to be independent. It's all about having control. 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. So this might explain why an older parent might feel both annoyed and very loved by your concern all at the same
You're
time.
You're exactly right.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. 16 minutes past the hour. We're wondering what your experience of that is this hour at 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Wondering how you're experiencing this at the holiday season. Maybe you are the child who is here and your parent is away. Maybe you're somebody who sort of observes these changes on a day-to-day basis. Losing weight, gaining weight, that seems to be sort of an indicator as well.
Oh, absolutely. And losing weight can be obvious if you just look at them and their face looks different, but also it can be subtle, and it's a lack of appetite, which is another clue to a physician that provider that there's a problem when you have no appetite. That if you're trying to lose weight, that's different. Everybody would say that they're always mindful of their weight, but that appetite is a big clue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you go about then having the conversation? Because I've talked to a lot of sort of people in my age group who say they'd really like to be a more of a part of their parents' medical life, you know, going to the doctor or at least knowing what's going on. But that's a very dicey thing because people have a right to their own privacy, certainly, and you want to respect that. So again, that's a tough conversation. How do you recommend people have that conversation?
Number one, I think to have a agenda. You know, we don't. I often see patients in the clinic where their family is upset about one blood sugar being elevated, and then they might chastise their family member for eating that cake three hours earlier. It's really more of the goal is how do we manage your diabetes so that we prevent problems like heart attacks and illnesses, etc., that uncontrolled diabetes. So it's really a focus of a bigger picture. What are we trying to achieve?
Yeah.
And then, of course, that respect. You know, I can imagine just thinking of my own children and if they tried to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
How I would feel.
So it's a great point. So here's the thing. We're at 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. This is going to be an issue. It is an issue now. And it will certainly become an issue because we know what the statistics demonstrate. The statistics are very clear that by about, I want to say 2030, one in four Americans will be over the age of 65. So their needs are going to change. We're living longer. And so there are all kinds of issues around that. 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Maybe you're the caregiver in your family. Maybe someone else is. We'd love to hear what that experience is like for you. Maybe you are the cared for person. So we're wondering what that experience is like. 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240 are the numbers where you can join us today. And, of course, in this region, we also have older veterans who require care and folks with certainly everywhere, folks with disabilities whose care regime may be a little bit more complex. So we're wondering how you're experiencing this today. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Bruce Robertson, who's the president of Sentara Life Care Corporation. That's sort of a long-term continuum brought to you by Sentara that has to do with nursing homes and assisted living, and most especially and most interestingly, more recently, community-based services such as the PACE program, which is the Program of Inclusive Care for the Elderly. Are there more than one sites? Is there more than one site for this? Or
yes, we have two locations locally, one in Norfolk and one in Churchland.
Okay, great. Yeah. 20 minutes past the hour. Tom's on the line from Yorktown. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Kathy.
Hi.
Or good afternoon, I guess. I have an elderly parent that lives here locally with us, and one suggestion that her doctor actually brought up for you know, the driving piece of this was I went to the doctor with her and she, you know, looked at my mom and said, hey, you know, why don't you be in charge of the decision to stop driving instead of letting, you know, your insurance company or the you know, DMV or, you know, the police department or the judge tell you got to stop driving. You know, you be in charge of that decision. And it kind of put the decision back on her instead of, you know, having somebody else tell her.
Oh, that's so really interesting,
it was a great,
Tom.
Great technique, and I've always appreciated that her position for doing that.
That's a great idea, Tom. I thank you for the call. That idea of empowering, that speaks to that point of the fact that older people still want to feel in charge and in control of their lives. So that kind of speaks to that.
Yes, and that if there is a concern, one of the things you can suggest to your family member is, how would you like me to talk to you if I have a concern? How would you like me to
approach it? That's good languaging, yeah.
Because if you come at it like you're the one in charge, there'll be immediate shutdown.
Yeah. How would you like me to talk to you?
When I have a concern.
When I have a concern. I'm writing that one down because that might come in handy. You never know. That could come in handy just in a staff meeting. I'm not kidding. You know. Let's go to Elena on the line from Newport News. Hi, Elena. You're on the air.
Hi, Kathy. I just wanted to say that, well, my mother lives with me. She's not old, you know, she's in her 60s, but she just migrated from Honduras here and got her insurance, and she's taking care of a lot of her issues, but she's sometimes afraid of taking care of her issues because she doesn't know what the doctor might say. And most of the time she avoids it to the point that I have to make the appointment for her and tell her, you're going this day.
So when you say she's afraid and she's avoiding because she's afraid, can you give me an example of what she's avoiding and what she might be afraid of?
Well, she had a small cyst.
Okay.
And she was afraid that they would say, oh, it could be cancer.
Yes.
Or it could do this to her or something
okay,
like that.
Okay, got it.
And then finally we got her through the right medical personnel and got her the surgery that she needed. And it turned out it was nothing. It was just a giant cell tumor.
Yeah.
On her hand, but you know, it was those little things that just had her so nervous about it. And but she procrastinated so much on it because she was so afraid of taking care of that. You know, that it just took me to we're going to do it because you need to take care of it.
Yeah, Elena, that's such a great point, and you rightly point out with some of these things, procrastination is not a helpful strategy. So how do you suggest? How do you suggest this approach?
I would say, first off, even though the notion of going to see your primary care physician may be one that is anxiety producing, I would say that it's important for us to really plan on an annual physical. And so
that's just we're doing that.
We just need to have, especially for aging seniors, it is really important that you keep up with your health and you have a good knowledge about what's going on with your system and having that conversation with your primary care physician, because the last thing we want is someone to have an emergent episode and then you're in the emergency room.
Right.
And so it's better to be planning on that, even though, you know, it can be discomforting at times. It's important to be on top of that.
One of the things that I know some families do, and I think this is a great idea, is that an adult child who's ever in town has a current medication list of everything that the senior, because by the time you get to be a certain age, the medicine taking is a thing. It's like a daily activity, and sometimes a multi-daily activity.
Yes, and I think I love pill boxes.
Yeah.
They are so inexpensive, and they are so nice for planning out that week. They really improve on the percentage of the medications taken. We all hope it's 100%, but it, in truth, it really usually isn't. Mm-hmm. If you have an opportunity to see in that pill box how many days have been missed, then that's a sign. You can always count pills. Look at when the prescription was filled on the sticker and then count those pills and see, is she missing her pills? And of course, missing blood pressure medicines, missing certain things are really kind of a dangerous thing, because we want to prevent strokes and prevent heart attacks and all of those things. But there's some medicines, more dangerous than others, but you never really want to miss them if they're prescribed daily.
Sure. Yeah. Great point. Carol's on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Carol. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Yes, I wanted to bring a point up. I've been a nurse for many, many years and a director of case management in large hospital systems, more on the West Coast, and recently moved here. And one of my goals has been for 20 years is building continuum of care models, basically focused on an intervention in the hospital.
Sure.
I want to bring up to people out there that many times you don't live with your elderly, or you live in another state, especially like Virginia Beach or Arizona or Florida, and then you don't really know. And they're all right about the fact that these people like to hide things. There's no doubt about it. The elderly, because they don't want it. But I just want to bring up the point that, you know, many times, unfortunately, the first intervention happens when they hit the hospital.
Sure.
Because, so it's very important, and I'm very happy to hear about Sentara, what they're doing now, to have a very good communication with your hospital ERs and when they're admitted, and set up a continuum of care, which includes, you know, the hospital down to the community,
sure,
down roundabout. And there are ways to set up those programs which can intervene and make sure that the information from the short stay or whatever is back to the physician. And so I think that if you end up with your family member in a hospital somewhere, it's good to ask for the case manager or the social worker.
Yeah.
So that they can give you
yeah,
information that you might not know.
Sure. It's a great point, Carol. I thank you for the call. Bruce Robertson, this is a concern for a lot of people, that particularly if you present in the emergency room, that handoff from the emergency room to the doctor sometimes may not be what you want it to be. So case management, social work, is there
a good
example of that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, at Sentara Healthcare, we have our ICM departments. That's our internal case management function. And they're largely social workers and nurses. And they work closely with patients as they move through the hospitalization.
Yeah. So is that something, if you have someone in the emergency room, you should be asking for a case manager or a social worker? Or should that?
You will be assigned one
if
you're going into the hospital.
Got it.
So I mean, the hope is that if you've been to the emergency room, hopefully you don't have to be admitted to the hospital. In a program like PACE, for instance, you know, we're always following our PACE participants wherever they go. So if they're in the home and they go to the emergency room, you know, we're going to immediately, you know about that and mm-hmm. and start to intervene and try to facilitate. Because what can be so complicated is if somebody presents in the emergency room and the hospital knows nothing about the patient, they've had no background, you know, they're going to end up running a barrage of tests if they have no history on that individual.
Okay. Bill's on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Slightly different take.
Okay.
What my wife and I did for our parents, in addition to having the will drawn up,
yes,
was a medical power of attorney. And do not resuscitate orders drawn as well.
Right.
To where once our parents specified what their desires were, everything was formalized, and then we sent copies to our siblings just to let them know that, hey,
right,
this is what Mom and Dad wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then for the medical power of attorney, we took two of our siblings each in case of, like for myself, I was on one, if I was to die in a car accident, that my wife's brother would take over. So they
uh-huh.
had, you know, we had backup plans.
And backup, sure.
In that regard.
Yeah, it's such a great point, Bill. You're talking about estate planning now. Is really, you're talking about end of life and estate planning. It's critically important. You know, and by the way, I would let you know there's a program called As You Wish.
Yes.
Great program, which you can do a lot of that yourself. If you have a complicated scenario, obviously you're going to want to talk to an estate attorney and get all that squared away. But As You Wish, which is a great program, a collaborative program of the healthcare facilities in this community, is really oriented toward asking all those questions before you need the answers.
Absolutely. And we've worked hard to participate in developing that. And so we're very glad that it's a resource for anyone
yeah.
in the community. But I think one of the things we've been very intentional about in Sentara, especially in Sentara Medical Group, is to begin those discussions about advanced care planning. So
yes.
so the whole notion of having the power of returning, or all those various elements, comes under advanced care planning, and we're trying,
that's what the word I was looking for,
yes,
advanced care planning.
Right.
That's
and we're trying to introduce that for anyone over 50.
Yes,
because all too often we're having that conversation, and someone's 85, and it's time, you know, it's too late. So it's really best to start having that conversation now at
yes.
50, so that we're not surprised when we you know have an event later.
And Bill's certainly really thoughtful about this in terms of having a person and then a backup person. And those the other thing we've heard is that the DNR do not resuscitate orders. If there's a hospitalization, you make absolutely certain that those orders are there and those orders are known
yes.
known by everybody. I want to give you that website, by the way, because it's really important. AsYouWishVirginia.org is the name of that website where you can download a planning document, which will help you make sure that you have thought out all of the issues related to your care. And the exciting thing, I think this is exciting, I always like when folks cooperate, and these are four leading health systems in the area, including Sentara, and four area agencies on aging, came together to do this. So one brand, one message, one directive, one guidance, asyouwishvirginia.org. Amy Goyer is with us today, and she's an expert in aging and family, specializes in family caregiving and multi-generational issues. Thank you for being with us today.
Hi, thanks. Happy to be with you.
So one of the things that we know this time of year is that there are, you know, it's one thing if the adult child or the caregiver or the sibling or whoever it is in the area. It's quite another thing when the adult child or the sibling is out of the area. And there are conversations that need to be had, either because there's no one else in the area or with the person who is in the area. Those I've observed can be fraught and contentious. And I wonder if you could give us some tips around that communication.
About the communication between the long-distance family members and the ones who are close by providing a lot of the care.
Yes.
I think that's a really common issue. We certainly have those of us. I'm a caregiver for my dad. I have a sister who lives at a distance. You know, we grapple with this as well. Because those of us who are at a distance may come into the situation and see things but not really see the whole picture. Mm-hmm. So my first bit of advice is to those long-distance family members to really try to talk with the ones who are nearby before you come on the visit so that you get a sense of how things are. And obviously you should be doing this on a regular basis. But if that hasn't happened, before the visit, you know, try to get a good feel for things and offer how can I be supportive while I'm there. Because it's a different thing when you fly in and you say you should be doing this and this and this differently versus I'm going to fly in. How can I be helpful? And yes, you can observe the situation and see if there's suggestions, but more come with a helpful attitude.
It's a great point, because frankly, the ones who are flying in are not there on a day-to-day basis, right? They're not getting the call in the middle of the night or going to the emergency room or whatever. So be helpful. This seems very logical to me.
Yeah, exactly. Usually they're not. You know, that said, there are a lot of things that we can do to... Oh, I missed something here.
No, I love that. Usually they're not. I like that.
But, you know, there are a lot of things that can be done from a distance. So,
What? Give us an example.
That said, I think the best thing to do is again, ask the people who are the hands-on caregivers who are there all the time.
Yeah.
But for example, I'm one of four girls, so I have two sisters, one who was really quite ill and did not have the finances to contribute financially, couldn't come here and help. But before she passed away for several years, I asked her to call my parents every day.
Oh,
and she did
No
matter how bad she felt, she'd set her alarm to call them. And short conversations, but it was a regular touch-in with my parents. It brightened their day.
Yes.
And then when she passed away, I asked my other sister who lives at a distance to do that. And, you know, it gives me and my sister here a lift when we're caregiving, you know, but it also, for my dad who has Alzheimer's disease, it's a point of orientation. Sometimes the conversations are great and sometimes they're not. So you have to be prepared for that. You know, that's one little thing that's a concrete contribution. But there are other things. You can manage finances much better from a distance. There are certain things that are easier to do from a distance.
Yeah.
With technology now,
sure,
there's lots of things that you can do. Managing one aspect of the care, like managing the finances or a piece of that, or balance the checkbook every month or whatever it is that can help. The other thing you can do is research. Because there's always something that we're trying to go online and look for information about a disease or a condition or some type of technology that could be helpful or, supplies, medical supplies, things that you're going to go online,
sure,
you're going to Google it, you're going to go on Amazon. You can order those things, and the research time is really significant. So that's something you can do.
It's a great point, because that's something you can do regardless of where you live, and that can be a great gift to the folks who are on scene, who are going to be dealing with the more hands-on stuff. John's on the line from Norfolk. Hi, John. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Kathy. This is John Skirvin.
Hi, John.
Hi. I'm with
Senior Services of Southeastern Virginia.
And just wanted to say I everything that has been discussed on the show today is really spot on. I wanted to offer some resources for folks whose parents may have stopped driving, for instance, or who may have been discharged from hospital and need support at home. We do provide non-emergency medical transportation at Senior Services of Southeastern Virginia, and the telephone number there is 461-9481. And we also work pretty much hand in glove with all of the area hospitals to be a source of care coordination
Sure.
in the community.
Yeah, it's such a great point, John, and I appreciate the call. The fact of the matter is there are terrific senior organizations, Senior Services of Southeastern Virginia, a very, very important piece of that continuum. And I know you all work with these community organizations
we
as well.
We absolutely coordinate with John Skirvin's team, and it's a great resource for our community.
Meals, transportation, all kinds of things.
The Meals on Wheels program is great that they have. We also have one within Sentara, too, but they make a great contribution to the community.
SSSEVA.org is where you can learn more about Senior Services of Southeastern Virginia. John, good to hear from you. Thank you for being with us. Mark is on the line from Norfolk. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Hello. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to your guests. My mother, as we speak, is at the Sentara Pace in Churchland.
Okay.
And so she's been in the program maybe about a year and a half.
Okay.
And I think the program model is one for the ages. And so I praise Mr. Robinson and his team. And the Norfolk team is great. The Churchland team is great. However, there are some issues within Pace. As I speak right now, there's a case that's going to be generated. It's actually just generated it in Norfolk Circuit Court. As it relates to my mother started into the program with about 28 hours
okay.
of thorough assessment.
Mark, I'm gonna ask you just to hold on that because that sounds like something that Bruce Robertson may want to deal with you directly on. And so I'm going to ask for your number, and we'll have them get back in touch with you because that sounds like something that needs to be done that's related directly to your mother, and I appreciate the call. 22 minutes before the hour, it's 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240, and we're talking about care for seniors, the holiday season being a great time to check in, to look, to see what's going on. Amy Goyer with us today as well. She is a specialist in aging and families with AARP. Amy Goyer, you know, one of the things I wonder about is we have this bulk of baby boomers sort of moving through aging. And I suspect, as they have done with every other thing they've moved through, they will change the way things are done. In what ways do you see baby boomers changing the aging process?
Yes, you're absolutely right. Baby boomers have changed everything from, you know, the time that we were born, starting with the education system, et cetera. And I do think that's happening with the experience of aging as well as the marketplace of aging. And we're shaping things in terms of the way we want to live. You know, 9 out of 10 people want to age in their homes stay in their homes. And baby boomers are saying, okay, you know, we want to stay here, so we're going to need
right.
home-based services, community-based services. We're going to need be able to make home modifications so that our homes are safe for us to be in. The equipment, everything is so much more available now. And I think that's one of the biggest changes that baby boomers are making in terms of technology in particular. You know, and the future generations are going to be even more comfortable. But, you know, baby boomers are pretty comfortable with technology.
Sure.
And are adopting a lot of things from home security systems to, you know, and medical alerts that have GPS in them so you can wear them anywhere. To more,
but you
got to
wear them. That's the thing. You
they're
gotta
not going to be
wear
helpful
them.
If you're not wearing them.
Right.
That's absolutely right.
Oh, boy, that is so true. The other thing I wonder about, we've been reading more about this recently, is sort of changing living patterns, Amy Goyer, so that not only are older people living in their homes longer, but I was reading something recently from an architectural, you know, sort of new home construction scenario that people are either building new or remodeling homes so that multiple generations can exist in the same space.
That's right. There's Lenner Homes, for example, has a next-gen model that's become very popular in different parts of the country where they sometimes call it a home within a home.
Uh-huh.
So that you have a situation where it could be your adult children have graduated from college and are moving back home, and they could have their own separate space, or your older parents. You want them to move in and be able to be there, and you can help care for them in a home setting. Or you're aging in the home yourself, and that's a wonderful little place for a caregiver to be living. And you know, can have separate entrances, but also a connecting entrance into the rest of the larger home. I've been in these homes, and they're amazing. And so people are looking at those things, but a lot of people are remodeling, as you say, so that they're joining up forces. There's also baby boomers in particular are kind of finding these niche markets where they'll say, you know, the communities that are almost like communal living. Like,
yes,
we're artists. We're all going to live together in this and support each other as we age, or kind of a Golden Girls type situation where several women get together. And
I don't know if I could stand that, but
it depends on who they are.
That's
right?
Very true. That's a fair enough point, Amy Goyer. Thank you so much for being with us today. That's given us sort of some things to think about moving forward. I really appreciate your being here today.
Thank you, and happy holidays.
Take
to everyone.
Care. Bye-bye. You can follow Amy Goyer on Twitter at Amy Goyer, G-O-Y-E-R, or at AARP. So Bruce Robertson and Dr. Katie Robichaud, it just seems like to me we're at this moment where we are rethinking everything and really getting expansive and exploratory about it.
And, you know, from the technology front especially, I think the whole notion of telemedicine, telemonitoring, and telehealth, I mean, those are all emerging right now, and there's a lot of technology that's going to be available. Some of it's available, some of it's still in its infancy. But
yeah, speaking of that, I just saw this granny pod. I do not want to be in a granny pod. I just want to go on the record as saying, have you seen the granny pod?
I have.
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Robichaud, you got to go see the granny pod. Okay, so you've seen it, right?
Yes.
Bruce, tell us, can you describe it for us? It's basically a shed in your backyard.
Right.
Where you,
they will. I think it's a group in Virginia that's developed it, and you can purchase
this. That was pejorative on my part, shed in the backyard. It's not bad. It's really nice.
It's a small mobile type home that can be placed in your backyard,
yes.
But it's very small. But it's very, you know.
And it's all techno equipped, so
right.
that it's monitoring everything all
check
the time.
Check all movements. So if someone falls out of the bed, it checks track you know movement around the area.
I do not need my child keeping that close of an eye on me.
So.
Cindy is on the line from Norfolk. Hi, Cindy. You're on the air.
Hey, Kathy.
Hi.
Hey, Bruce. Cindy Cutler.
Hey, Cindy.
Hey, I've seen what Bruce has done with the PACE program, and it's amazing. I just wanted to make a comment about just beginning these conversations early.
Uh-huh.
I just lost my mother-in-law in October, and it was 10 years ago that we started visiting, like, independent, assisted, long-term care facilities. So she felt empowered when we did need to start making decisions.
I
think what happens a lot of times is people wait until they can't even get into a facility before they start looking.
Yes. Cindy, that's
so
a great point. That's a great point about when to make this decision, because there are requirements if you are contemplating a longer-term nursing care facility circumstance. You have to have some requirements going in.
Absolutely. Well, I think part of the continuum we have in Sentara makes it easier for folks who may begin to deplete resources. So, for instance, if you're living in assisted living, for which we have two sites, you know, largely that's a private pay population, but we expect people to age in place, and financial resources may dwindle over time.
Sure.
So as you become Medicaid eligible, for instance, you know, if you're living in the community and you become Medicaid eligible and try to get into an assisted living or nursing facility, it's going to be hard to do that.
Sure.
So if you go into an assisted living, you age through your resources, then PACE becomes an option for you as you become more frail. You can still be a part of PACE, or if you became so frail you need a nursing facility care. I mean, we are always trying to make sure that payer doesn't matter. And since PACE is a program that is open for both Medicaid and Medicare, it makes it easier for folks.
It's a great point, because I know in a lot of assisted living, you got to be able to walk in the door. No matter,
right.
you know, you might things might change while you're there, but you got to be able to get up and walk in the door.
That's
so these
exactly
are,
right.
Cindy, your point is well taken. These are very, very important conversations to have. I'm going to start my own little advertising to offer myself to live with anybody who's in one of these multi-generational homes. We'll do the show from the granny pod in the backyard, and that is my long-term retirement strategy. It's no retirement. That's how it's going to be. So I'll be 110, gumming my food, and still doing this show from the granny pod. I think that sounds like I'm going to live in Morgan Chase's backyard. That's what we're going to put. Morgan, that's what we're going to do. You get your house. We're going to put the granny pod right in your backyard, and we'll be together always. Doesn't that sound exciting? Yeah, okay. He's negotiating the rent right now. Not good, Morgan. Thank you all so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it. And happy holidays, and may we
thank
all
you.
Use those
thank
as opportunities you. To have these conversations. We're at 15 minutes before the hour. We'll be back in just a moment. Morgan is charging me too much rent for the granny pod, so I am now available to the highest bidder. That's how that's going to go. We're so glad you joined us today. We are very excited about this film festival that's coming up this Sunday. It's called Filmily, F-I-L-M-I-L-Y, the Filmily Fest, and we're glad to have Tevye Abrahams with us today to talk about it. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. So this is very interesting because we have a lot of people in this region who are producing films now that the technology has become more democratic, small D out there. A lot of folks are now in the business and they're creating wonderful films. So you have decided that this would be a great opportunity for folks to kind of see some of these shorter films that are locally produced.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, one thing that's really nice about our festival is that we people are creating these films from the ground up from the beginning of our fall period. So there's a whole way that these films are made, and we have 12 teams who signed on to make a film, and there's certain ways that we're making them. And then at the end of this fall period, now we're ready to see all the films, and this is the first time all of them will be seen this Sunday.
It's exciting. Yeah, it's very exciting. So the final screening of all of these original short films will be able to be seen this Sunday at the Narrow Theater, 12 local short films. When we say short, how long are we talking about, Tevye?
Well, they're all actually, there's a big span. They're 5 minutes to 15 minutes.
Okay.
And, you know, there's quite a variety of time
and,
for the film.
And so where could people get more information if they're interested in attending?
Okay, and our website is the best place. It's
okay.
FilmilyFest.com, FilmilyFest.com. And we have great visuals on there. We're selling T-shirts. We're you can get your tickets online beforehand up until this Saturday.
Right.
And then on Sunday, you know, you'll have to buy your tickets at the box office at the Narrow. But it's going to be a really exciting event.
Boy, no kidding. And so so essentially what happened is this summer they had this application process. They announced the teams in August. They sort of kicked it off in September. And from September to November was when all of this filming was taking place. So this is a very short turnaround. And a really exciting opportunity for people who want to express themselves through the art of film. So again, it's Sunday, December 11th, coming up at 6 o'clock, and that's going to be the awards and the screening, right?
Correct. Yeah, and we're even going to have a little bit of networking and meet the filmmakers. All the filmmakers will be present there. And each film was made really within a 4-week period. There was
wow.
a certain people could choose when they could do it because it's a long time to commit. And so we had teams, you know, some of them were starting September 1st, some of them were starting in late October. So
wow.
It was all kind of mixing and matching. And so, and that also worked really well because teams could share crew, they could share actors. And then you'll see that if you attend, you'll see that.
And so have you seen some of these films already?
Oh, yeah, I've seen all of them.
Yeah?
We have them already. The filmmakers, there's a big collaboration to this festival. There's a peer review process during the script. They send their, one team sends their script to two other teams to review, get feedback, and we do the same thing during the edit period. And that's all to just help make, you know, help bring other teams together and to also help someone work on their craft and come up with the best thing that they can.
And are these are these folks mostly people who really want to be filmmakers on a national and international level, or what?
Well, it's a mix. I think everyone, that would be the goal. But there's, you know, we have a lot of professional video makers in our lineup. And also, me and my husband, we own a video production company, Daytix, and we actually are also filmmakers, and we made a film that's not in competition, but it's going to be shown, and we made it with the same way all the filmmakers did, so that we can know the better way to do this festival and what's working and what's not.
Well, it sounds really exciting. Coming up Sunday, December 11th at 6 o'clock at the Narrow, and what you'll do is, by this point, you want to either check out the website, FilmilyFest, FilmilyFest.com. We'll put that on our Facebook page, or you can go to the Narrow, to the box office, and buy a ticket. This just looks like a fun opportunity to see a collection of short films that have been produced by people right here in Hampton Roads. There are going to be some great awards presented, including Best Director and Best Actor and Best Actress and Best Use of Character and all the rest of it. So completely fun, fun event. Tevye Abrahams, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you having us on here.
You bet. And again, the website, FilmilyFest.com, 12 local short films that'll be premiered, will be screened there at the beautiful Narrow Theater, and then there will be an awards presentation as well. I think that sounds like a big old lot of fun, and congratulations to Tevye and her husband and the team that that put this together. What a wonderful idea, and with folks working on numbers of films, so I think you'll be blown away by the talent in the film genre that is here in Hampton Roads. You know who knows a lot about artistic talent is our good friend Mal Vincent, and he knows everybody who's anybody.
I want to tell you what Warren Beatty is really like. Now, if you have been to the movies in the last 40 years, you've seen his movies, dating back to Splendor in the Grass in 1961 and Bonnie and Clyde, Heaven Can Wait, Shampoo, lots of movies. I kind of want you to know that not all my interviews are old things from yesteryear. I interviewed Warren just a few days ago in Atlanta, and I was amazed that he was a nice guy. Why? I mean, well, here's a guy who's had everything. He's so good looking. He was a movie star with his first movie, and he's dated everybody. I mean, look, this guy has dated Natalie Wood, Joan Collins, Julie Christie, Leslie Caron, Diane Keaton, and that's just a few. Carly Simon claims that he thinks she wrote the whole song, You're So Vain, about him. But she says, really, she only wrote one verse. Seems he's had everything, so you think, I'm not going to like him. But actually, he's a really nice guy. Out of a clear blue sky, he asked me if I'd ever met Mae West. I don't know why he asked. As a matter of fact, I had. I had dinner with her. He pondered. He couldn't believe it. He said, I just talked with her on the phone. She was 80-something then, and she told me that I was just a promising young boy, but that I needed to know right off that she only made movies in which she got 10% of the gross. That ended that discussion immediately. I says, well, you have one of the sexiest wives of anybody, Annette Bening. He added, Annette is going to love you. I mean, she loves hearing these stories. I've got to arrange for you to talk with her. They have been married for 24 years. They have 4 children, and there have been no other girls added to his list since he met her. That woman, he said, is the best thing that ever happened to me. He told me that he lived on Mulholland Drive, which is known in Los Angeles as Bad Boy Drive, because Jack Nicholson also lives there, and Marlon Brando once lived there. Have you met Jack? He asked, referring to Jack Nicholson. Yes, I replied, and I was surprised. He was so polite, and he kept calling me sir. I couldn't get over it. I mean, I think he's maybe just as old as I am. I expected a wild man. You were right to expect a wild man, Warren said. Jack has discipline, though, and he knows how to put on an act for the press. About his sister, Shirley MacLaine, he loved all the kind of dirty stories I could tell. And I told him that Shirley once almost had me arrested for trying to steal her dog because the dog stayed with me rather than go with her. He howled with laughter. You know, he said, that dog is dead now. She claims that the dog wrote one of her books. He really was there to talk about his new movie, Rules Don't Apply, in which he plays Howard Hughes in old-time glamorous Hollywood. It's still in theaters, and you can see it particularly at the Columbus Circle Theater in Town Center on Virginia Beach. It's a fun movie.
He said the rules don't apply to you.
Warren turned out to be one of the great interviews. I wish I had more time to talk about him, but later, soon.
There wasn't any doubt at all that he knew. He gave me a gift that I would treasure. He said the rules don't apply to you.
Nice job, Mal Vincent. Yes. Shirley MacLaine, Warren Beatty, two Virginia natives who have certainly made it big on the silver screen. Thank you so much for being with us today. Coming up tomorrow night on WHRO TV 15, it's going to be a terrific show. You're going to want to grab this front row seat for one of the best Broadway concerts in memory. They've got an all-star cast performing the music of Candor and Ebb. So you're going to hear New York, New York, Cabaret, so many classic songs by the Tony, Oscar, Grammy, and Emmy-winning Broadway songwriting team of Candor and Ebb. So that's coming up Friday night on WHRO TV 15. Up next here on 89.5, it's Tinsel Tales 2, more Christmas favorites. Then coming up at 2, it's Here and Now. 3, we get underway with Fresh Air. And at 4, of course, it's All Things Considered, keeping you up to speed on everything that has happened throughout the day here in the United States of America. So that will be coming up for you through the afternoon right here on 89.5. And of course, you can keep it tuned here for the evening for some terrific music programming from Paul Shagrew and our good friend Jay Sennett. So that's what's coming up this afternoon on 89.5. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. Hey, by the way, tonight, I'm already on to tonight because why? It's my favorite show, the This Old House Hour at 8 o'clock on WHRO TV 15. We got your steel beams fabricated and installed on the addition, and Richard getting to work on the HVAC plan. So I don't know how much more exciting we can make it for you, but that's coming up tonight at 8 on WHRO TV 15. And then at 9, it's A Chef's Life. I'm going to cut to the chase here for you. Vivian is holding a mayonnaise blind taste test. It's Hellman's. I mean, come on. Hellman's or Duke's. Come on, Vivian. I just saved you half an hour there. Thanks for listening. We will see you right back here on Monday. And thanks so much to our great intern, Tamara Majette, who's been with us all semester. Today is her last day. She's done an amazing job for us. Thanks, Tamara. We'll see you. We hope to see you soon. Thanks for listening. We'll see you right back here on Monday.